for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Monday afternoon, December 27th, 1982. Midwinter Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamlin Bible Campground, Hot Springs, Arkansas. This is tape one of five tapes by Don Corder. I believe God is doing some particular things within His church, within His body in this hour. I believe that all over the nation and around the world, a sound of a clear, certain trumpet is sounding. Amen. And I believe that we are in the midst of the clear sound that God is bringing forth in this hour. I want you to turn this afternoon to the 68th chapter of the book of Psalms. I found out some time ago that God's going somewhere. Did you hear me? I found out that God's going somewhere. In other words, God just isn't batting the air. God is not just going in circles like the Israelites went in circles in the wilderness. God has a definite purpose in mind for you and for me. You believe that? That's one of the reasons you're here. God has placed within your heart a hunger and a thirst to know more of the things of God. Psalm 68, we want to share with you this afternoon the fact that God is moving on. And I also found out that if you aren't in the move when God is moving on, you get left behind. How many wants to be left behind? Nobody here wants to be left behind. Praise God. Well, if you don't want to be left behind, then you have to get in on the move that God has called forth in this hour. Amen? Psalm 68, the first four verses. Let God arise. Let His enemies be scattered. Let them also that hate Him flee before Him. As smoke is driven away, so drive them away. As wax melteth before the fire, so let the wicked perish at the presence of the Lord. But let the righteous be glad. Let them rejoice before God. Yea, let them exceedingly rejoice. Sing unto God. Sing praises to His name. Extol Him that rideth upon the heavens by His name. Yeah. And rejoice before Him. The psalmist declares, David actually sang this psalm. And he sang, let God arise and His enemies be scattered. But we'll show you later that those words David borrowed from another preacher. They weren't original with David. But he found them to be advantageous words. He said, let God arise and His enemies be scattered. And that's why we're here in this camp. For two things. We want to let God arise, and at the same time, as God is arising, His enemies will be scattered. Amen? How many of you want to get rid of the enemies of God in your life? Praise God. It shall be this week. Amen. You will leave cleaner than what you came. Amen. We decree that in the name of Jesus. Amen. Let God arise. The word arise here in the Hebrew, and this is not in your outline, this is just something additional. The word arise is the Hebrew word spelled Q-U-W-M. And it's pronounced koom, K-O-O-M would be the pronunciation. Let God abide, accomplish, confirm, continue, decree, lift up, ordain, perform, establish, make
to stand, strengthen. Well, then we could, let's read the definition of the word arise into the text. Let God abide. Let God accomplish. Let God confirm. Let God continue. Let God decree. Let God lift up. Let God ordain. Let God perform. Let God establish. Let God make you to stand. Let God strengthen. Sound good? Don't do that list again. Abide, accomplish, confirm, continue, decree, lift up, ordain, perform, establish, make to stand, and strengthen. Are you interested in letting God do that? Amen. David said, let God arise, and his enemies will be scattered. Did you know that when we let God arise, his enemies don't have any choice but to be scattered? Huh? One of the problems in this hour is that because of the enemies that are in our lives, God has not been able to arise. You say, oh, God is powerful. Yes, God is powerful. Are you aware that the Apostle Paul said something like, quench not the Spirit? Why would the Apostle Paul say, quench not the Spirit, if the Spirit could not be quenched? You ever talk to yourself when you read the word like that? And well, I wonder why Paul wrote that if it couldn't be. Okay, let's go on. Just let God arise and his enemies will be scattered. Well, let's look at another word, the word enemy. In the Hebrew, the word enemy is oyeb. Oyeb. And it means adversary, enemy, foe, one hated, one with an opposite view, like an opposite tribe or an opposite party, like in the early days of frontier America, when the different Indian tribes would fight against one another. It was like the red coats and the blue coats during the Civil War. They had an opposite view. They were enemies of one another. Let God arise and his adversaries, his foes, the ones who hate him, the ones with an opposite view, will be what? Scattered. So let's stop and look at God's enemies for a moment. Because sometimes when we read a portion of Scripture, we automatically, because of the framework of our religious, quote, background, we stereotype even the Word of God as we read it. It is stereotyped according to our background. Did you know that? You stereotype the Word according to your own background. God's enemies or God's adversaries are inside the camp as well as outside the camp. Now stay with me. Well, let me ask you a question. You see, I pastored for more than 10 years in a denominational setting, and I know as a pastor about enemies being on the inside of the camp. That's you. Huh?
One of the things that we do not want to do in this hour, since God has called us to move on, we do not want to be an enemy of God. What's going to happen to him? He's going to be scattered. If you hold an opposite view of God, you say, well, God, I really don't believe that's what your word says. Watch out. You might become an enemy of God. You have an opposite view of what God has. And you'll become his enemy. And what's going to happen to you? You're going to be scattered. The wolves will be able to devour you. Now, I want to challenge you, but you'll find that I may stir you up once in a while, too. Now, if something gets stirred up, we'll cast it out after a while. Because sometimes, you know, you got to, I'm from Wyoming, you know, you got to get a burr in your saddle before you do anything. Amen? Well, let me preface everything I'm going to say with the fact that I love you. And because I love you, I'll speak straight with you. I'll tell you the truth. That God arise and his enemies will be scattered. You know, there are some enemies inside of God's camp. Lucifer was the first. Was he on the inside? Okay, let's go to the 14th chapter of Isaiah, verse 13. I presume that most of us know the story of Satan's fall. His name prior to his fall was Lucifer, son of the morning, verse 12 tells us. But verse 13 says, for thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God, I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. I want you to understand who this was. This was an anointed cherub. An anointed heavenly being. A heavenly being that had the anointing of God upon him. And ultimately he became an enemy of God. And in this hour, Lucifer is still an enemy of God. But what does the scripture tell us is going to happen to any of the enemies of God? They're going to flee before him. Well, did you know that even now, at the power of the name and the blood of Jesus, that enemy has to flee before you? That very specific enemy of God, Satan, Lucifer, and all of his cohorts must flee before you because you pronounce and live by the name of Jesus. But he became an enemy of God. Let's go on. How about Adam and Eve? God's first family. Genesis chapter 2, verses 16 and 17. Well, we find out that when one person becomes an enemy of God, or one spiritual being such as Lucifer becomes an enemy of God, he likes to take some others with him. They're not satisfied in just being a lone enemy. In fact, you'll find in the spiritual realm there's no such thing as a lone enemy. If you find one enemy, you probably find some more. Amen? Genesis 2, verses 16 and 17. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. Now let's jump over to the third chapter, verse 6. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? Why was Adam hiding? Because he'd become an enemy of God. And he was fleeing before the presence of God. He did not want to come into the presence of God because he had become God's enemy because of his sin. Verse 10, and he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And God said to Adam, Adam, who told you he was naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? God's very first chosen man became, in essence, an enemy of God because he disobeyed God. Are you aware, now this is just a side note, but are you aware, in the strictest and in the purest spiritual sense, the reason that we must wear clothing today is because of sin? When did Adam hide himself and try to cover his nakedness? After he sinned. I'm not saying we should form charismatic nudist colonies, you know. I'm just saying that, and I just wanted you to see that in the purest sense of the word, that the clothing, the first clothing that man made for himself, was the result of his sin. Now, even that has been perverted from that time on. And clothing and dress, etc., etc., has become an enemy of God. There's no end of looking at these kind of things. It has become an enemy of God. Amen. Okay. Let's go on. How about God's chosen people? We could look at all these verses here, but let's just look at a few of them. Let's look at Exodus chapter 14. The people that God chose to be his own. And we may be talking more about these people in type and shadow as the Lord leads. Exodus 14, verse 10. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord, and they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Are you aware that murmuring against God will put you in jeopardy of becoming his enemy? And there's probably not a one of us here today at some time or another hasn't murmured at God because of the circumstances or situations that we found ourselves in life. Drop over to chapter 16, verses 2 and 3. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said to them, would to God we have died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt. when we sat by the flesh pot, and when we did eat bread to the full, for you have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. And we know that concerning these people, it was over and over and over and over and over again that they complained, they murmured, they were in rebellion, they were in idolatry, they were in fornication and adultery before God all through those years. You know what happened? Finally, God said, that's enough. And he cut them off because they had by their own volition made themselves enemies of God. The next one is Judas. Oh, Judas is a great theological character. Everybody likes to talk about Judas. And there are so many theories propounded concerning Judas. Oh, you know, he never really was saved. He never really was a disciple. Well, let me show you something in Matthew chapter 10. The first four verses. And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, how many had he originally called? 12. Well, when he called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them, who's the them? The 12 disciples, power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Now the names of the 12 apostles are these. Simon, he's called Peter, and Andrew's brother, and James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, Philip, and Bartholomew, Thomas, and Matthew, the son of the publican, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Lebeus, whose surname was Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. I want you to understand that Matthew was writing after the fact. Matthew wrote, Judas, who also betrayed him, because the betrayal was a historical fact at that time. Was Judas numbered as one of the 12 that Jesus gave power and authority to go forth and minister? Was he on the inside of the camp? Huh? Amen. Did he become an enemy of God? Amen. Now, look at Acts chapter 1, verse 17. Verse 16 says, men and brethren, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake before concerning Judas, which is God to them that took Jesus. For he was numbered with us and had obtained part of this ministry. Let me ask you a question. If you look at the situation with Judas now, and how he actually betrayed Jesus, do you think they really didn't know who Jesus was, that Judas had to kiss him so they'd know who he was? I'm just going to stir you up a little bit. Just think about something. Now the fact is, Judas betrayed Jesus. And the scripture was fulfilled because God is so sovereign that he foresaw exactly what would take place. He saw exactly what would take place. But Jesus had ministered in Jerusalem, all throughout all the sea coasts of Galilee, and that whole country. Everybody knew who Jesus was. But the fact remains, as the scripture says, he was numbered with us and had obtained part of this ministry. Judas was on the inside, but he became an enemy of God. We're looking at a principle here. Lucifer, Adam and Eve, God's chosen people, the ones that God himself chose to be his own, betrayed him, just as Judas, whom he had chosen to be one of his own, betrayed him. You see, the next step is outside. You see, we're aware that there are enemies outside the camp, and we know all about the enemies on the outside of the camp, but our concern is that we do not become an enemy of God because we are on the inside. We're on the inside. We are, for the most part, I suppose here, saved, baptized in the Holy Spirit, walking with God, seeking to do the will of God. And yet I know saved, spirit-filled people who by their actions and by their attitude have become enemies of God. Have you ever seen strife in a church? Have you ever seen those mouths that just would not stop and it was just all the time? That becomes an enemy of God. It's the same as the murmuring of the Israelites in the wilderness. And what God is calling his people today to is to purity, to walk according, very precisely, according to the word of God that has been set down for us. I doubt that there is a Christian that has actually been born again by the blood of Jesus that does not know that it's wrong to murmur, or complain, or speak evil of someone else. That doesn't take too much to figure that out, does it? Come on, I don't want to preach to myself. And we've all been in that boat. But tell you what, God's moving on, so we've got to change. God's moving on, and he's, Malachi tells us, I am the Lord, I change not. So guess who gets to change? Huh? Well, let me ask you this. Do you want to be like you used to be? Take it a step further. Do you want to be like you are now? No. Let's go on. Amen. So we don't become enemies of God and get cut off. See, we're aware that there were enemies outside the camp, but let us, who are in, cleanse ourselves. You see, getting cleansed from adversity keeps one from being an adversary. Keeping from enmity keeps one from being an enemy. Let God arise, and his enemies shall be scattered. This is the promise that those that hate him will flee before him. The Lord just quickened to me, Psalm 66, verse 18, it says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. And here again, we interpret that in the framework of our theological background. Do you know why that your prayer does not become answered when you regard iniquity in your heart? When you regard iniquity in your heart, you cannot pray in faith. Because you have sin in the camp. You have sin in your life. And in the truest sense of the word, it's not that God's ears are stopped up. It's that you can't pray right. Because there's something wrong in here. The psalmist David said, if I regard iniquity in my heart, no use to pray. God's not going to hear me anyway. Why? Because I can't pray in faith. I can't get my prayer above that. Because I've got iniquity in my heart. And the scripture says the Lord hears not sinners. If you're in sin, in one sense of the word, you have become a sinner. How many sins does it take to make you a sinner? What is it that separates us from God? Sin. What can you pray in faith? In that situation, it's like God to hear you. No. So you see how serious it is. God in this hour is looking for a pure bride, a pure church. Now, the only thing that's going to bring that about is a pure word. Amen? Now, I want you to know that the message is, you're just beginning, I would venture to say, because I don't know your background, but I would venture to say that most of you are just beginning to hear the word that God is bringing forth in this hour. And I'll tell you what, sometimes it'll set you back on your haunches. Sometimes you'll go, ooh, I want to get that preacher. Like I said, we'll get rid of it after a while. Those that hate him will flee before him. The word hate is the word sane. It means to hate personally. There are those on the inside who border on hating God by holding him personally responsible for their dilemmas. You mean there are people around that might have a grudge against God? 25 years ago, God, my son died! I'll never forget. I'm going to stay in the church because it's a fire escape, and I don't want to go to hell, but I'm going to hold this thing against you. You can't do it. We've come to the hour that you may not have understood the situation. I may not understand the situation, but a situation that took place 25 years ago doesn't make any difference today. I don't care what it is. It's time that we lay it on the altar and let the fire of God consume it. And let it be no more. Let it die. Let me tell you a story about a young man. The first church I pastored back in 1969, it was during the year 69 that this young man came to my attention. I was pastoring an Assembly of God church at the time, but a Methodist lady came by the parsonage to get acquainted with me soon after I came to town, and she said, well, there's one guy in this town you need to meet. I said, oh, is that right? Yeah, she said, his name is Charlie. Oh, she said, he's something. You know, he's killed, man. I said, oh, is that right? And right then, the Lord spoke to me. He said, when you see Charlie saved, your work in this town will be finished. I mean, I'd never seen Charlie, didn't know Charlie, didn't know him from anybody, but I thought, boy, that must be something else. But you know what? That community would not let Charlie's past die. Let me ask you what you'd have done in this situation. Charlie lived on a ranch. Charlie was 16 years old.
Thought he'd been out hunting with his 30-30 rifle. He came back into the yard, and he saw a raving maniac. We would call him a demoniac today. In their yard was this raving demoniac. Had a ball-peen hammer in his hand. He had a ball-peen hammer in his hand. He had blood splattered all over him. And Charlie had a little sister. He couldn't see his mama. Charlie got down off his horse, walked toward the house, and the man came after him. And Charlie, being 16 years old, did everything he could to keep from shooting the man. But as a last result, he did. He shot the man. He was sent away to reform for 2 years for manslaughter. But when Charlie came back, the community tagged Charlie a murderer. And there was a religious person that came to share with me, "You need to get Charlie." And I decreed right there, my heart began to burn with compassion for Charlie. You know, I've never met him, never seen him. But in 6 months, Charlie was my best friend. Charlie wasn't famous. Charlie was just the average, ordinary, run-of-the-mill heathen, just like when we'd go deer hunting, I'd have to say, "Charlie, tag that deer. You're not putting that in my pickup unless you tag it." I'd smile at him. He'd say, "Okay." You know? It took 5 years. But when I left that town, Charlie was saved. And Todd, Charlie did such a transformation, and such a transformation took place in his life, and the whole community did it. What happened to Charlie? What happened to Charlie? Charlie found Jesus. But you know, the community, even this day, if you go into that town, you can pull into a service station and call that man's name, and they'd tell you the first story, not the second one. Huh? You see, all of those things in our lives must die. We must crucify them. Put them to death, that we might go on with God. Because if we allow those things to turn in us, they create hindrances, which in one sense of the word, make us enemies of God, because when God is trying to move, we become a hindrance, and we're in the way. Somebody says, "Well, if that's the case, I'll just leave and not come back to this church." I've heard that before, too. See, that's not the answer. The answer is change. The answer, saints, is change. You see, most of you I've never seen before. You've never seen me before. But I came to challenge you that God is moving on. Let God arise, and his enemies will be scattered. You say, "Oh, I've had this thing so long, I'll never be able to get rid of it." Well, we'll get rid of that lying spirit first. That spirit of deception has got you so deceived, you think you can't get out of it. Let's get a little personal here. How about husband-wife example? Christian, believing husbands and wives. Maybe one believer, one unbeliever. Whatever the situation might be. The little bitternesses and hatredses. The little bitternesses and hatred accumulate through the years. They culminate years down the road in hate and resentment and bitterness and arthritis and ulcers and all kinds of manifestations in their lives. Many stay together because of need, but the problem is still there. And many times, no one except you and your spouse knows there's a problem. See, the purity in the church has to begin at home. Did you know that the church is made up of little churches? Your home is a church. Your home is a church. Well, Jesus said he was building a church. In the scriptural sense of the word church isn't bad. It's a good term because Jesus is building a church. An ecclesia. A body of called out ones. The Greeks proclaimed. So husbands and wives, even children, we have to bring them to the altar. The bitternesses, the hurts. "But you don't know what my husband's done to me. You don't know what my wife has put me through." Are you going to let it keep you from going on with God? No. Sit down. Lay it down. Bring it into the spiritual realm, into the church. There are people who are in the church who hate God, but because of need, they stay in the church. Though they hate God, they still need him and fear him. And they cover the guilt and the condemnation that they have by their work. Their work neutralizes their guilt. It's called demonic suppression. And those things are just all suppressed below the surface. Suppressed below the surface. Pushed down, compacted together. And yet there is that something within them. We just moved into a new building about 2 months ago. We got moved into our new building and had Frank and Ida Hammond come to initiate it. So the community knows what we stand for already. But while we were working on the building, it was an old denominational building, very nice building. A man with a cane came in, about 85 years old. He came in the main entrance door. Let's say this is the back of the auditorium. He came in the back of the auditorium. He came over with his cane. I was working in the auditorium. I watched people because I want to be open to the ministry of the Holy Spirit to meet their needs. Even though I was working in the building, had my work clothes on, he didn't know who I was. First time I'd seen him, he walked in. He stood about right here. He looked right over there to that a spot over there. He just kind of stood there, kind of swaying. First time I've been in this church in 22 years. But I was sitting right over there. He said, the preacher took a pot shot at me. He said, I'll never come back. He said, the preacher was wrong, so was he. Did you hear me? The preacher was wrong. The pulpit is not the place to take pot shots at people. Just teach the word. If there's something in their lives, let the word give them. I learned that a long time ago. One lady came up to me after church one day. We'd gone out to this ranch family's home. This lady was almost 60 years old. We'd been in their home a number of times. I preached a message one Sunday morning. I don't remember what it was now. But I made one passing reference to the new morality. That she was 60 years old. Like about 1970, you know. She was 60. I made one passing reference to the new morality. Oh, she caught me after church. And she said, preacher, you told everybody I wasn't married to him. You told everybody we were living in adultery. You just told the whole church. I don't even know. You sure your sins will find you out. See, all I did was preach the word. I just talked what the scripture said. And I made one passing reference to the new morality. And boy, it just... The word was false. For what purpose? What did Paul tell Timothy? All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. For correction, for proof, for instruction, righteousness, etc., etc., etc. God's word is going to purge and cleanse the church so that God can arise. I'll tell you what. Like I've been telling people down in Winter Haven. I said, you think it's tough when you get it, you ought to see me when I get it. Because I get it first. So I ever give it to you, the Lord's already skinned me with it. Because it's coming to the hour, and the hour in which we're living, that God's men can't share what they're not living. They'll get found out. You mark it. 1983 will be the year. The exposing year. You think Adam thought he was naked in the garden? There are going to be some ministries stripped naked, spiritually speaking, and exposed to the world. You write that down. It's going to begin very shortly. Someone shared with me just the other day that a prophetic word came forth. I don't remember where it was, but it was very strong under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. That four of the biggest television ministries in the United States in the year 1983 will fail and fall flat. Four. Now, I didn't prophesy that. I just heard someone say that that's what's going to happen. Well, just watch it. Keep your ears open. Keep your spiritual ears in tune. You see that not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom. Jesus said, if you're not with me, you're against me. If you're not with me, you're my enemy. But you're against me. Oh, I want to be with Jesus. Whatever he does in this hour, you know, there's so much stuff being taught. I said, Lord, I can't sort it all out. So I said, Lord, whatever you're doing, I want in on it first. That's kind of my attitude, Lord. I may not know the horns and the heads and all that stuff, but Lord, whatever you're doing, let us in on it first. We want to be in on it first. Amen. I want to say first here and say open to the Holy Spirit that I want to be in on it first. Not second, first. You need to get that attitude. Lord, whatever you're doing, I've got my mouth open wide. Fill it with what you're doing first. Glory. Amen. You'd think I hadn't preached in years. The Old Testament prophets were hated. Why? They let God arise by speaking his word. Jesus was hated. Why? He spoke only that which the Father designed and designated him to say. Let God arise and the hatred must flee. Then he says, the wicked shall be driven away like smoke being driven by the wind, or like wax is melted by fire. The wicked, the word rasha in the Hebrew, it means the activity of the wicked whereby they cause confusion to the world. The atmosphere of the wickedness of the world is prevailing, continuing to prevail on the face of the earth. The scripture declares that the wicked will perish at the presence of God like smoke being driven by the wind. Have you ever seen wind drive smoke? Smoke doesn't have a chance, does it? The smoke doesn't have a chance. When the wind gets behind it, neither do the wicked. You see, there's a judgment coming. There's a judgment coming. God has spoken some things that have been confirmed in a number of ways. I've heard other brothers, and it's blessed me to know that, as I said in the beginning this afternoon, that the trumpet is sounding very clear. The fear of God shall return to the church, see? God will not be mocked on the earth any longer. You will see the Ananias and Sapphira incident come again. Now, see, you're going to have to make a determination. You're going on with God. Because you say, oh, I don't want my name in the paper that I was there. That happened. After Lake Hamilton, what? They Jews, what out there? Who dropped dead? Who'd they put in jail? Listen, we've got a mess in America in the state of Nebraska right now. Huh? I get almost weekly updates on that situation, and it's unreal. It is absolutely unreal. They picked up that young pastor again in December. He made a statement that on a certain day his church was going to open their school again. And simply because he made a statement, they came and arrested him and put him in jail. Had no probable cause. They had to let him go, but they harassed him. They continued to harass. You need to intercede. You need to intercede. We set one night a week aside for intercessory prayer. And that's all we do is intercede. I mean, we don't talk. We write down the needs of the body. We write down the needs of the nation. We write down specific needs we know of. And we intercede in the spirit for about an hour and a half. And we've seen God break some yokes. We've seen God break some yokes. There's some yet to be broken, but we've seen him break some. Amen. Our men meet at 6 o'clock on Friday morning for an hour of intercessory prayer before they go to work. 6 o'clock, Friday morning. You see, what kind of a turnout do you get? A remnant? God's always had a remnant. Say, Lord, if whatever that remnant's doing, I want to be on the church. I want to be a part of the remnant. Amen. Praise God. See, some people get upset a little bit because not everybody is going this way. Well, did you not hear that Jesus said the road was very narrow? He said, the broad way is, how many go in there at? Many. The road is narrow that goes to lead to eternal life, and few there be that find it. Do you think Jesus was right? Then don't be upset that not everybody's going this way. Listen, it could be a million and still be a few. But I determined, I said, Lord, I don't know how many there is. But whatever you're doing, I want to know. I'm going to be so open and so pure. I tell you what, in the last couple of years, the Lord has really gutted me and hung me over the fire a few times. He's not through yet. You're right. But I tell you what, when your children come and nail you to the wall, but Daddy, you said, in your sermon, you said da-da-da-da-da, but you're not doing da-da-da-da-da. Tell you what, that'll straighten you up quick. Now, it is in the wind and the fire. The wind and the fire are needed to allow God to arise. The wind of the Spirit takes care of the smoke. There's a lot of smoke around, not much fire, a lot of smoke. The fire of the Spirit takes care of the wax. Let God arise and the wicked influence of the world upon us will flee. Because God will have him a pure bride, a chaste virgin bride, a pure church. Amen? You see, things that God tolerated last year, he's not going to tolerate any longer. Time to change. Jesse just spoke. I want you to turn back to Numbers chapter 10 as we bring this kind of winded up here. Verse 33. And they departed from the mount of the Lord, 3 days' journey, and the ark of the covenant of the Lord went before them in the 3 days' journey to search out a resting place for them. And the cloud of the Lord was upon them by day when they went out of the camp. And it came to pass when the ark stepped forward that Moses said, "Rise up, Lord, and let thy enemies be scattered, and let them that hate thee flee before thee." Remember I told you David borrowed it? Huh? He got it from preacher Moses. Prophet Moses. The head of the nation, the head of the old covenant nation. The head of the old covenant people. What did Moses say? "Let God arise and his enemies be scattered." When the ark of the Lord, which represented the Shekinah glory and the presence of God, when that ark began to move, Moses got an order. He began to say, "Let God arise and his enemies be scattered." Why? God was going somewhere. God's intent was not to wander in the wilderness, folks. He was heading somewhere. God was moving on. Now let's drop back and look at verse 11 and verse 2 of this same chapter. Verse 11 of Numbers 10. "It came to pass on the 12th day of the second month in the second year that the cloud was taken up from off the tabernacle of testimony." Verse 2. "Make thee 2 trumpets of silver, of a whole piece shalt thou make them, that thou mayest use them for the calling of the assembly and for the journeying of the camp." When the cloud lifted up, there were Levites, and all those Levites did was blow trumpets. That's all their job was to blow trumpets. They were like the cavalry. Those people moved and were ordered like the cavalry of the frontier days. Certain trumpet sounds signified certain things. Certain blasts on the trumpet called them to war. Certain blasts on the trumpet called them to assemble because Moses wanted to speak to them. Certain blasts on the trumpet sounded the fact that the ark, that the cloud, you see, how did they know when they were supposed to journey? The cloud would lift off of the Holy of Holies and it would begin to move. The Levites would say, "The cloud's with us! It's a trumpet! Church to the goodness! The church to the goodness!" Moses would hear that and he'd go, "Let God arise and his enemies be scattered!" And the heads of the camp would pick it up. There were 3.5 million people there. And it would pop. Pretty soon you could hear the echo through the camp. "Let God arise and his enemies be scattered. Let God arise and his enemies be scattered." And everybody knew it was time to move. It's time to move. God was moving. And it was exciting when God moved. Some exciting things began to take place because God was moving. Now, when the trumpet sounds, and Moses, the head of the nation, stands forth and says, "Let God arise and his enemies be scattered," everybody knew it was time to move. Decision time. To tell you what, saints, we are in the hour of decision. Not a radio program. There is a radio program called that. But we are in the hour of decision. When God moves, it's decision time. What are you going to do when God moves? You can move on or stay behind and settle down. Now I want to present to you a nice, ordinary, average Israelite family that has been called out of Egypt. They were called out, covered by the blood. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 says they were baptized in the sea and in the cloud by Moses. And they came out of Egypt and were journeying on toward the promised land. God had founded the release in Egypt. They began to move. They would camp at certain places throughout the wilderness journey. All of a sudden, the cloud would lift off of the tabernacle and begin to move. The trumpets would sound. Moses would say, "Let God arise and his enemies be scattered," and the whole camp would begin to pack. Moving time again. God's moving on. Now, what happens if you stay behind and settle down? Well, you know, God isn't requiring me to move with him. Maybe that's what he wants you to do, but that's not what he wants me to do. You know, that tongue thing is okay for you, and you know, that deliverance and stuff is okay for you, but I don't believe God called me to that. I don't suppose you've ever heard that. Huh? Okay, let me show you what happens when you stay behind and settle down. I won't say you. Let's take this Israelite family now. Okay?
Moses, the trumpet sounds because the cloud has moved on. Moses sounds the cry, let God arise and his enemies be scattered. Everybody starts packing. The tents start folding in. Everybody gets the goats ready to go. Everybody's got a chore and the children are doing this and they're packing off. Everybody starts moving. But this is when he's right there. What? Aren't you packing? No, we've decided to stay here, you know. That looks like a desert out there, and this is the best oasis we've found yet. There's trees here. Good water, you know. Man, that's a nice rock we get water out of. And, you know, everything is real nice here. I think we're going to stay. Everybody knew that. Night comes. And it gets cold. Why is it getting cold? No fire. No fire. What happened to the fire? Well, the fire moved on with God. It was over the tabernacle, remember? At night, that fire came up out of the tabernacle, and from my observation of it, that fire just coming up out of the tabernacle wasn't enough to keep the whole camp warm. So I believe it just kind of, as a cloud went out over the people in the daytime to save them from the hot sun, the fire came up and became a covering for them. As the blood was their covering, the fire became their covering. And they had cloven tongues of fire all over them that kept them warm through the night. But it was getting cold. But the fire blew down its house. Well, they get out extra blankets and settle down for the cold night. Next morning, you know, the wife gets up and she says, "Boy, I know it's cold, but honey, I'll fix your manna just the way you like it." So she goes out to her favorite spot where she always gathers manna. She's your manna. Why not? The manna moves on with God. The manna moves on with God. God provided the manna, and God had arisen and moved on. Went down to the stream that flowed out of the rock. No stream, no rock. Well, 10:4 says they drank from the rock that followed them. Is that you, Bob? What happened to the rock? It followed on. It moved on. Because the presence of God. God had arisen, and God had moved on. Well, it's been a cold night. Now it's about 11 a.m. Sun's getting kind of hot. They look up. What's wrong? Look out. Cloud moved on. Direct heat from the sun was coming down now. God has moved on, and the cloud has moved on with God. Just about the time that they realize that, all of a sudden over the sand dunes comes the wilderness marauders. Marauders? Why marauders? God has moved on, no protection. The protection of God has moved on with him. The protection is of those who've moved on with God. When God moves on, his provision, his protection, and his presence move with him. Let me ask you a question. How can there be any true spiritual progress for those who stay behind when God has arisen and moved on? We're simply looking at a spiritual end time principle. That is, God's moving on. Some folks have decided not to go. I'm not condemning them. The Word of God will condemn them. Jesus said, "This very word that I've spoken unto you in the end will condemn you." Can you imagine? Jesus said that. He said, "This very word that I've spoken will in the end time condemn you. The same word that I speak will be that which condemns you and judges you." So judgment in the end time won't be anything new. Are you still here? It'll be the same word that's already gone forth that will judge them. Now, remember we said you can move on or you can stay behind. We look at staying behind. If you move on with God, you are guaranteed his ample provision, his ample protection, and his ample presence. God is a faithful God. Paul declared that in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. We've seen God be a faithful God for a number of years now. We saw God be a faithful God when our daughter pulled over a 30-cup percolator, one of those big, tall percolators that just kicked off from boiling all that coffee. She pulled it over. 3 years old. When we took her socks off, the first layer of skin came to the top. We packed her feet in cold dish towels,
headed for the hospital. This is many years ago. In fact, it'd be 8 years ago now because she's 10. She was two and a half or three. When the doctor took the towels off, the second layer of skin came with the towel. And then as she turned even deeper to what was. And so she had some very severe burns on her feet. You know when we got a miracle? When we decided we're going to move on with that. We played the game for a while and oh yes, okay, if that's the way it's going to be, okay. But then finally they said, we can't do anymore. You're going to have to take her to Billings, Montana and have skin grafts. I wasn't even there. My wife said, no! I mean, that second just rose up in her. She said, no! We're not going any further this route! You know what began to happen? You began to get a miracle right there. Right then. She said, you don't get a miracle until you decide you're moving on with God. That's the beginning of miracles, is when you've made a decision to move on with God. Because there aren't any miracles back in the desert. Oh, you think those things, I mean, you think your clothes not wearing out when the wilderness is good. That was only the down payment, the first fruit of what God has for Canaan. We made a decision early in 1977. Many people thought we were saved. We even told us that. We made a decision that if Jesus is our Savior, the Scripture also proclaims that He is our healer. He is our provider. I was taking shots just like a diabetic for allergies. If it was green and it was outside, I was allergic to it. If it was brown and outside and the wind could blow it, I was allergic to it. If I tried to mow my lawn, I would be in bed for 3 days. Just from mowing a lawn. Not from the physical labor, but from all the stuff that comes up from the green, the pollen, et cetera, et cetera. I said, Jesus, I believe that you're my Savior. Are you aware that the word salvation signifies deliverance, soundness, healing in every area of your life? You know, since we made that decision, that was about January of 1977, not a one of my family has been to a physician on this earth for any reason. We go to be physicians. You say, are you against doctors? No. You against medicine? No. I just found a better way. There's a better way. You know what God is doing in this hour? You see, God began to show me some things because I was involved in a lot of things beginning in 1977. But, you know, God began to show me those things almost 10 years before that time. And with my lightning quick mind, 10 years later, I finally caught on. You know, I heard Brother Copeland a long time ago, when I first started hearing Brother Copeland, years and years ago. You know, he used to use that term, you know, with his lightning quick mind, he finally kept on, you know, 6 months later. And it took me 10 years. But then I began to see, God began to build. We began to make Jesus a provider. I resigned. My ordination even in the denomination that I was a part of. They didn't agree that God was moving on, so I moved on. I had to make a decision to move on. Decided not to fight. Just decided to move on. The last year I pastored a denominational church. I drove a school bus and pastored the church, and my total income was around $5,500. That was 1976. In 1977, my income more than tripled. And I wasn't even talking. I was believing God. He said, what are you going to do? I'm going to believe God. You're going to what? Believe God? Been believing God ever since? You say, have you had any battles? Yes. I would lie to you if I said I didn't have any battles. We are in spiritual warfare, don't you know that? Why would the Apostle Paul receive a revelation that we have spiritual weapons if we aren't in war? And everybody gets upset when they have to go to war. Well, that's what it's all about right now, is warfare. That's what it's all about. But thank God, you have everything necessary to fit you for life and godliness on this earth. Everything necessary. People thought I was crazy. Well, if I'm crazy, leave me alone. I'm having a good time. What are we doing each time the trumpet sounds? Decision time. The trumpet sounded. I'm getting better at that trumpet. You ought to hear me the first time. Clouds begin to move. You know, the clouds are moving in this hour. Killer fire is moving. God's going somewhere. Each time God speaks and we move on with Him, spiritual growth and progress comes. Let's say we have Camp A and Camp B and Camp C, etc. What we learned in Camp A
See, I got saved at Camp A. Praise God. Went on to Camp B, got the baptism of the Holy Ghost, rolled around on the floor, prophesied, spoke in tongues, sang in tongues, interpreted in tongues for 4 hours. In a denomination. Oh, well. I was blessed in Camp A. I was blessed in Camp B, but God said, time to move on to Camp C. Oh, but Lord, I've got the baptism right over here. I want to stay here. Grandma got it over here. Don't show up to you. That's where Grandma got the Holy Ghost. Well, God's moving on. They move with God. You see, we don't reject everything we learned in Camp A, and we don't reject everything we learned in Camp B. We take with us those things that were good lessons we learned. The spiritual experiences we have. Praise God. Probably more people have been saved in Baptist church in America than any other church. Why? Because that's all they preach. But praise God, they're preaching more. And they're getting people saved. But God began to move, and God began to say, all of us, all of our young, all of our hearts, what's that? I don't know, God's moving on. Let's go to that camp. And they got Holy Ghost, anyway. Then there was another camp, divine healing. Then there was another camp, deliverance. Then there's another camp. God will provide all you need. Then there was another camp. And then there's another camp. And then there's another. You can come in and see you. You can move on to God. Where are you going to settle down? Brothers and sisters, oh, God. Where are you going? I don't know. But Lord, whatever you're doing first, I want to be honest. When does God cause the trumpet to sound and call us to move on with Him? Just when we get comfortable. When we do that. Pretty good here, you know. Praise God, been getting some word, been getting some deliverance. New spiritual experience coming. What am I going to do? Well, God's moving on. What are you going to do? Go on. That's a good way to start, isn't it? Monday afternoon. I know you've already got some good word. And through the week, praise God, all the brothers are going to bless you. It's going to get better. Hallelujah. I looked up Psalm 68:1. In the Amplified Bible, and it says, God is already beginning to arise, and His enemies are scattered. Let them also who hate Him flee before Him. You've heard some trumpets, haven't you? That's why you're here. You heard the trumpet of salvation. You heard the trumpet of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You heard the trumpet of deliverance, moving on with God, seeing the deliverance, all kinds of things. You've heard some trumpets. That's why you're here. Let me tell you something. God's desire for every one of us is to move on with Him. One more scripture passage I want to share with you. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 36. Beginning there in verse 36. Hebrews 10, 36. For you have need of patience, or it could be translated endurance. Take it there. For you have need of patience or endurance. That after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that will come, and will not tarry. He's not going to wait for you. He's moving on. Now the just, how many of you have been justified by the blood of Jesus? Are you just? Now the scripture says, you're snared by the words of your mouth. Are you just? Only talk you out of it. He does. He's come by way of the cross, by way of the blood of Jesus. He's just. He's justified, all right? Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back or fail to move on, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. Oh, but hallelujah for the next verse. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition. Perdition is destruction. But of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Hallelujah. Are you going to move on with God? Amen. For most of us, I want you to hear me now, because we just want to minister a few things to you before we go our separate ways here for a while. For most of us, I say for most of us, it is religious things. Spiritual things in a bad sense. The
to keep us from moving on with God. The one single thing about the Israelites that looms higher than anything else that became a hindrance to their moving on with God, mentioned in Hebrews chapter 3 and chapter 4, is unbelief. You see, because at any stage, as God moves, the enemy would like to bring unbelief to say, "Ah, now you believe all that stuff up to this point, but you're not going to do that." If it is solidly founded and grounded in God's word, believe it. If it's not, sleep in it. So you see, there's a lot of junk being taught in this hour too. Things that are not true according to the word. The Apostle Peter said, in the last days, false teachers would arise. Very likely we're going to be dealing with just that very subject tomorrow. If Peter said in the last days false teachers would arise, when somebody comes along and says, "There are false teachers," everybody goes, "Really? Why should we be surprised? God already spoke it 2,000 years ago." You see, we must judge everything according to the word. Don't you accept anything anybody says just because they say it, whether they are a big name or a little name or don't have a name. In this hour, people are equating success and bigness in ministry with the anointing and the call of God. Mr. Moon, is Mr. Moon a success? Does he have lots of money and a big organization? How about the Mormon Church? Is it big and successful? How about the Jehovah's Witness? Are they zealous and are they successful in their proselyting? Is it right? No. See, so that, see, that theory doesn't hold water. Just because it's big and just because it's moving, it's got to be of God. That doesn't mean a thing. Not to say that there aren't things going on that are big and that are moving of God, but we have to judge. We have to rightly divide them and look at them according to the word of God. Let's deal this afternoon with that spirit of unbelief and the things that relate to it that the Lord might reveal to us. Amen? You want to get rid of it? You say, "Well, praise God, I've come this far." Well, I have too. But the enemy brings that cloud of unbelief once in a while. It settles down. It's just to see what I'm going to do with it. You know, the devil brings a package of snakes to your door once in a while just to see what you're going to do with it. That's like the little girl that, you know, she went to the door. There was a knock at the door, and she went to the door, and she peeked out the window first, and she looked back, and she said, "Oh, it's the devil at the door." She said, "Jesus, you answer the door." "You don't have to answer the door. You have power and authority in the name of Jesus. Every time the devil knocks at your door, let Jesus answer the door." Amen? Let Jesus answer the door. Praise your name. Let's just worship the Lord for a few minutes. Oh, Rabbah HaShan, Dalai Yom, Rabbah HaShan. Father, we thank you for your blessings and for your word. Father, for the ministry that you continue to give us in this hour, Lord, just for enriching our lives, for causing us to know your word, for causing us to know your will. Oh, Rabbah HaShan, Dalai Yom, Rabbah HaShan. 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 Oh, Rabbah HaShandar 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 Rabbah In your background, there's been some unbelief, just like there was in mine. So God isn't doing that today. He's just doing something different, and that's not a part of what God's doing in this time. If you search the word out, and you determine it according to the word of God, that it hasn't ceased, and didn't go away with the apostles, but it's still here, and still yet there's that thing of, "I just don't know." It's rooted in a spirit of unbelief. Because there were some times with those Israelites, now listen to me, there were some times with those Israelites that they were, they were right in there. In 10 minutes, they were unbelief. I That's a double-minded spirit, which, if it's allowed to remain, causes you to be a double-minded man, unstable in all your ways, and you have a split personality. Sometimes you're going on with God, and sometimes you're not. One part of you is going on, the other part's not. Any of you relate to any of that? You see, I've been there. And I said, listen, you don't know the attack of the enemy upon God's men in this hour, the men in fivefold ministry. You need to intercede for every individual that ministers the word. Really. Because you don't know the attack that the enemy brings to us. You know the reason we know and can nail most of you all the time? By the Spirit of God? Huh? Because we've been through it already. Not because we're so super spiritual. Believe it or not. It's because the enemy's already brought that package to our doorstep. And we have to deal with it. Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for the power that's in the name of Jesus. We thank you for the blood of Jesus that prevails. We thank you, Father, that our lives and our hearts are covered by the blood of Jesus. Therefore, that spirit of unbelief that has been rooted in our background cannot stay. It must go right now in the name of Jesus. You spirit of unbelief, we break your hold. We break your assignment. We command you right now to leave God's people and go in Jesus' name. You spirit of unbelief, go from every individual right here. Right now in Jesus' name. Go, you spirit of unbelief. Go, we will not receive unbelief. Go, you unbelief. Go, you religious tradition that cause unbelief. Go, unbelief in Jesus' name. Go, you must go right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, every religious bondage rooted in unbelief, we bless your hold right now and command you to loose God's people. Go from them right now. Religious traditions, religious bondages, go in the name of Jesus. Go in the name of Jesus. You unbelief that would cause depression to come. In Jesus' name, we bless your hold and command you to go. You heavy spirit, go in Jesus' name, because you're oppressing God's people, telling them they can't move on. Fear. Fear to move on with God. You spirit of fear, in Jesus' name, we break your hold and command you to go. You spirit of fear, you've caused too much trouble now. You must go from God's people. Fear of moving on with God. Go in Jesus' name. Fear of failure. Fear of calamity. Fear of disease. Fear of poverty. Go in Jesus' name. You must go. Right now in Jesus' name. Fear of calamity. Fear of calamity. In Jesus' name, go. Fear of failure. Go. In Jesus' name. We shall succeed and be successful as we move on with God. Fear of failure. You must go. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Praise be unto your name, Jesus. Praise be unto your name, Jesus. Praise be unto your name. You spirits of tradition related to unbelief, we break your hold right now. You tradition, every tradition that is not of God, we break your hold and command you to release the people right now in Jesus' name. Go, tradition. Go, tradition. Go, religious tradition. We break your hold and every supporting spirit. We break your communication right now. You can't communicate back in Jesus' name. You can't communicate back to religious people. You cannot communicate back to religious people in Jesus' name. Your hold is broken upon God's people right now. In the name of Jesus. All of you traditions, sir. All of you spirits related to religious traditions. Go in Jesus' name. You're not of God. You must go right now in Jesus' name. Go in Jesus' name. Liturgy spirit. Form. Go in Jesus' name. We're free to worship Jesus. We're free to serve God. We'll move on with God. We'll not get caught up in form or liturgy. Not even in charismatic liturgy. Go in Jesus' name. Go in Jesus' name. All spiritual traditions. You must loose the people now in Jesus' name. Go in the name of Jesus. Go in the name of Jesus. Ora hanama se tolo bostanda. Praise be unto your name, Jesus. Praise be unto your name, Jesus. Spiritual deception. Spiritual deception rooted in unbelief. We break your hold right now. We will not be deceived. We will have no fear of deception. In the name of Jesus.
We follow the truth. We hear the voice of our shepherd, and our shepherd does not lead us astray. Therefore, you fear of deception, you must go right now in the name of Jesus. Fear of being deceived, go in Jesus' name. All of those places of infestation that have been spoken on you, but if you come around places like this, you're going to be deceived. We break that curse right now in Jesus' name. You curses spoken upon these people that they would be deceived if they came to hear the word. We break your hold right now in Jesus' name. Release the people. We break the power of that curse and command every spirit that came as a result of that curse to go right now in Jesus' name. Go in the name of Jesus. Go in the name of Jesus. Praise your name, Father. 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 Now I want you to listen to me closely. Listen to me closely. In Jesus, I just want you to hear something here. Those that are receiving ministry, just, that's fine. You just, the rest of you just pay attention for a moment. Some of you have some roots of unforgiveness because of the unbelief, the religious tradition, the deception that you've been taught in days gone by. There's that root of unforgiveness that says, they have deceived me, you must forgive them. If you're going to move on with God, you can have no unforgiveness in your life. No unforgiveness in your heart. Amen? Amen. Let me lead you in a confession, and then we'll minister to you. Father, in the name of Jesus, I will harbor no unforgiveness against anyone, against any minister, against any church, against any doctrine. I refuse to be in unforgiveness. And I renounce the spirit of unforgiveness. And I ask the Lord Jesus to set me free from an unforgiving spirit right now. Your unforgiveness, go in Jesus' name. Go, related to past years of doctrine and tradition and all of those things, hurt and bitterness. People in those churches that have hurt you. People in those church situations that have said things against you and caused you to be bitter and resentful. Let it go in Jesus' name. You spirits of unforgiveness, go right now in Jesus' name. Every related spirit, you nucleus of unforgiveness, we break your hold and your communication right now in Jesus' name. I bind the hurtful memories of hurtful church situations in Jesus' name. I bind the hurtful situation. There will be no more hurt. There will be no more remembrance of awful things that took place in religious circles prior to this time in Jesus' name. Praise your name. Praise your name. Praise your name. I bind every one of you to hear the truth of God's word. I bind you to hear the truth of God's word. Amen. I bind you to be free. I bind you to move on with God. I have the power to bind and loose in Jesus' name. Amen. The Israelites were to bind the words upon the frontlets of their eyes and bind them, bind the word upon their, where they could see them. On the doorposts of their house, they were to have the word to bind it upon their house. There's a good binding. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise your name. You're staying in an attitude of receiving right now because we're just going to go a few more minutes. I want to deal with one more strong man, and that is rebellion. Rebellion concerning spiritual things. How many of you, being honest, the first time you heard some of the things that you now readily accept, the first time you heard them, how many of you rebelled? Nearly all of us. You see, we need to deal and continue to deal because that thing wants to crop up. Every time God begins to move on, we go, I'm just coming over here, Lord. I want to move on. Rooted in rebellion. Rooted in rebellion. It's a first cousin of unbelief. Rebellion is a first cousin of unbelief. They run together. Are you with me? Amen. Okay, let's deal with that rebellion and get rid of it. Because we do not desire to be in rebellion to God. Say this with me. Father, in the name of Jesus, I will not be in rebellion to you. You are my Heavenly Father. You love me. You care about me. You will not send things my way that are to my hurt. You seek to do me good all the days of my life. Therefore, I refuse any form of rebellion against you in Jesus' name. Father, in Jesus' name, we break that rebellious spirit upon every one of our lives. Loose us and go from us right now in Jesus' name. We will not be in rebellion. We have renounced you. We have forsaken you. We will accept you no longer. We will accept you no longer. You are not our guide. Rebellion, you must go in the name of Jesus. Rebellion, you must go in the name of Jesus. Go. Release the people right now in Jesus' name. Go, you spirits of rebellion. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Praise be unto your name, Jesus. Every rebellion related to God calling us into further revelation, your hold is broken. We dismiss your assignment right now in the name of Jesus. We break your hold. We command you to loose the people right now. Every individual, young or old, in Jesus' name. I want you to turn in your Bible to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 7, verse 2. Let's stand together. Deuteronomy 7, 2. God told the people, his chosen people, what to do with their enemies. What have we been talking about? Let God arise and his enemies be scattered. Deuteronomy 7, 2. And when the Lord thy God shall deliver them before thee, thou shalt smite them and utterly destroy them. And thou shalt make no covenant with them. Anything we've dealt with today, don't you make a covenant with it. If you agree with it, you're making a covenant with it. No, nor show mercy unto them. We'll show no mercy unto those enemies who try to keep us from moving on with God.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.